You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth with you on this edition, looking ahead to Saturday's racing. Although it doesn't feel like a Saturday tomorrow, but it is a Saturday tomorrow, and there's four meetings scheduled to be on: Haydock, Lingfield, Newbury and Taunton. Fingers crossed all four get the go-ahead. As we record this at about 3:15 on Friday afternoon, no inspections planned, but the weather being as it is, until we see horses present and correct at all four meetings, we'll hold fire. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Enjoyed the Christmas racing, enjoyed the Christmas festivities with the family.
Mm-hmm.
All gearing up now for 3 points again. I mean, the new year.
So 3 points would be a lovely present, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, looking forward to the racing over the weekend. You know, we've got Newbury taking centre stage on Saturday, the Challow Hurdle. Quiet day Sunday, and then, you know, Monday's usually a fantastic day. Cheltenham and Musselburgh, the two highlights for me.
Absolutely. We'll start on the negatives on this podcast.
And there's many, unfortunately.
There are. It's been a shocking week, to be honest, and a shocking few days, horse-wise. We come here straight off the back of Faheen and the desperate run in the at Leopardstown, pulling up. Now, as we are recording this, we know nothing more on that, other than the horse apparently has returned sound, and that's all we know on that. But of course, yesterday we lost Nichols Canyon. We lost a Martin Keithley horse at Catterick yesterday. Willie Mullins has had plenty of runners underperforming. We saw Sizing John underperform yesterday. A lot of negatives, which is a shame, because it would be lovely to do this podcast and rave about performances, and instead it's less who did win the races, it's more who didn't perform, or has lost their life, or was injured.
Yeah, it's a sad part of the sport, unfortunately, Alex, and it all seems to have happened in a very short space of time over the Christmas period. Nichols Canyon, obviously, winning the Stairs Hurdle last year, you know, was a huge loss to everyone, the Wileys and Willie Mullins, and all his supporters as well, because he had many supporters, Nichols Canyon, even from his John Gosden days. He was a tremendous horse and, you know, sadly lost his life on Thursday. You know, the other horses, obviously Cotter's Rock, you know, was another one that jumped really badly at Catterick and paid the price, unfortunately, for a bad mistake. But the other horses that have run below par, the likes of Sizing John, you know, hopefully there's better days ahead for him. You know, he came back with an excuse yesterday. He had a temperature, and, you know, just look back to last year's Gold Cup and his John Durkin performance, and you realise how good Sizing John is. His career's far from over. And, you know, after winning four wars on the bounce, grade ones, you know, he had a little blip, but I wouldn't be too concerned. I'm sure he'll get back on track for the Gold Cup. And Faheen, unfortunately, pulled up at a very short price once again. You know, the jury's out whether we'll see Faheen again at his age. But, you know, the fact that the early quotes are that there appears to be no injury is a positive sign. And on his second start back, like, you know, I wouldn't completely rule him out of another bid for this year's champion hurdle. Sad to see, but, you know, Faheen is capable of bouncing back.
That is provided, of course, that he is all okay.
Yeah.
And then we're assuming that, as I said, we're half an hour after the race, and we're just going on what we've seen on Twitter, really, so far. There hasn't been a full fallout from it just yet. It may well be that things aren't okay. It may well be that it's just a one-off, and we have seen those kind of things before, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, Willie Mullins is not going to be taking any risks with a horse. He will need to be 100% before he reappears on the racetrack. And like you said, it's early days.
Yeah.
You know, the first bulletin from the owner is that there appears to be no obvious injury.
Yeah. And fingers crossed that is the case. And whether we see Fahin on a racetrack again or not, let's just hope that he's happy and healthy.
Yeah,
that,
we've seen
thing.
Him and enjoyed plenty good days
he owes
along the way with
nobody anything, does
yeah.
he?
He's been a tremendous horse.
Absolutely. And fingers crossed he is okay after that Leopardstown run on Friday. As for Saturday, as we mentioned earlier, just the four meetings on a Saturday, and with all of the top quality racing that seems to have been going on a daily basis over the festive period, it certainly isn't as strong a Saturday as we have seen in recent weeks. But at the same time, it's not so much watered down as just the field sizes are pretty small, aren't they?
Yeah, they are at Haydock. You know, the early first few races have only attracted 14 runners, I think, the first three races. But you've got the very exciting Northern Novice Chaser and Johnny Sofa in one of those races, which is going to be great to see him back on the track. We haven't seen him since he won well at Carlisle. He takes on Shades of Midnight. And last but not least, in that three-runner Novice Chase at Haydock, which is due off at 12:25. So he will love the ground. It won't be soft enough for Johnny Sofa. Even if it's barely raceable, it still won't be soft enough for him.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to see him back, even though it's only a three-runner race.
No, some really competitive action, as you mentioned, is the Challow Hurdle at Newbury as well. That coming up at 3 o'clock, six of them set to go to post. And what looks a really open renewal of that contest has gone to some pretty nice types. Down the years, will be interesting to see who gets the better of the argument in that contest. We're going to focus on two contests at Haydock, though, and we'll start with the 135. It is a handicap hurdle over the extended 2 mile and 6 furlong trip. And again, a very, very wide open contest. You've got some horses arriving here in flying form, the likes of Dandy Duke in the form of his life, Thomas Patrick maintaining his form really well. And then you've got some that have been slightly off the boil in recent weeks. But it all makes up for a pretty competitive race. One of the more competitive races of the day, I'd say, Craig.
Yeah, it's a good race, Alex. Obviously, I think the favourite will be Thomas Patrick after his second here at Haydock last time. He finished a short head behind Pop Rockstar, who has gone on and won again at Wetherby, I think it was. So he's going to be the likely leader, but he's also going to be the likely pace angle in the race, because he's a horse that, you know, goes off hard in front.
Yeah.
But he does stay well in the conditions. What is interesting here, though, is that what we've seen of Top Vile Burn so far is he's also a strong front-running type, but he's stepping up from 2 miles and 3 furlongs to the best part of 3 miles here. So I would imagine Adam Nicol may ride him with a little bit more restraint and be happy to take a lead off Thomas Patrick. I do like Top Vile Burn. I think he's open to more improvement. He's very progressive. Looking at his pedigree, I think there's more to come from him. I think this will be ideal for him, stepping up and trip. But obviously he won't get away with the same running style he's been displaying over shorter distances if he attempts to repeat that over this trip on Saturday.
It's not often, though, that a horse leaves Nicky Henderson and maintains the same level of form. And Topville Ben has managed to do that. He moved from Nicky Henderson to Phil Kirby, in the last 6 months or so. But in 3 months for Philip Kirby, has run off 130 and 127 twice. He's back up to 130 on this occasion. When leaving, Nicky Henderson was off 132. You'd have to say hats off to Phil Kirby, because it doesn't happen often, does it?
No, indeed. And he's only a five-year-old, so, you know, he's a young horse. He was a Million in Mind partnership horse, so, you know, their horses do go through the sales after one season. But, you know, his performance last time at Doncaster was as good as anything he's achieved really throughout his career, even in the Nicky Henderson days. So, you know, his form says he's on an upward curve. And, you know, looking through his pedigree, I think there's every bit of hope and encouragement to take from the fact that he now steps up in trip. He is carrying a big weight. Like I said, I would be delighted to see him just tucking in second behind Thomas Patrick, take a lead. And, you know, if he travels with the same enthusiasm as he did last time, he's going to go close. And what we've seen and testing conditions in the winter months at Haydock on the hurdle track, you want to be up with the pace. You see very little horses making ground up coming off that bend.
Okay, so the selection Topfield Ben?
Topfield Ben for me, yeah.
Okay.
He's the next best. I'm going to... The Nap is the one that runs in our later race.
Okay, that's in the 2:45. Just to touch on a bit of positive news, Nicky Richards has two runners in this race. And, of course, Nicky Richards won a Grade 1 in the stewards' room.
Yes.
At Leopardstown the other day. That was with Simply Ned, who got the result overturned, beating Min. Fantastic for Nicky Richards, because he'd been a fair time without a Grade 1 win, despite the fact that he's had a few nice horses in that time. They've been nice horses and not stars. And while Simply Ned is 10 now, it's not like he's just blossoming. It's fantastic to see a consistent old-timer get a bit of reward for its persistence and consistency.
Yeah, he's had a remarkable career, Simply Ned. You know, it was good to see him, and rightly, get the verdict in the stewards' room and bag that valuable prize for the yard. You know, he's been a grand horse to follow. He's faced some stiff tasks. You know, he's been struggled at the likes of Cheltenham when he's been sent down for the November meeting. But they eventually got their reward, even at the age of 10. And Duke of Navan nearly made it a very memorable Christmas for the yard when he went close at Wetherby in a graded event the following day. So, yeah, a yard on the up. But the big question is here, Alex, which of the two will Lord Budden nap?
That is true.
How will he sleep tonight, knowing that Nicky Richards has two live chances in this race?
Well, the thing is, I'm just looking back for Nicky Richards' form. He's in absolutely flying form of late. You can count on one hand in the past month the number of runners that he's had that have finished out of the frame. And some of them are at fairly generous prices as well, considering he is a leading trainer in the north. And obviously with two here, be interesting to see how Isaacstown Lad and Another Bill get on. But
Isaacstown Lad comes here off the back of a fall. You know, he's a horse that should be suited to Haydock. Another Bill's a hold-up horse. Well, saying that, he's been held up lately. You know, earlier in his career, he did race more prominently.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed with his chasing debut at Carlisle back in November, because I thought he was an ideal type for fences. Now, he's had 55 days off, and they're coming and starting back again over hurdles from a mark of 130.
Mm.
So, be interesting to see how they go. You wouldn't rule them out. They're not two horses that, definitely going to take this on, definitely going to take that on. This is a race for me where I personally think that Topfield Ben is still on the up and got more to come over this distance, rather than be ruling a host of his rivals out.
Fair enough. The Nap then in the 2:45, which is a handicap chase over the extended 2.5 mile trip, is going to be what, Craig? Because there's 8 runners set to go to post here, and again, this looks really open.
Well, you can take 10-1 now with William Hill for the Nap, which is very encouraging. Granville Island.
Okay.
That's the day of the Vills, Alex.
Yeah, Topfield Ben and then Granville Island. And we say 10-1 available. That is right now. There's every chance that Craig's going to go outside, snaffle all of that, and by the time you listen to this, listeners, it'll be half that. But
I will be short now, I would imagine, for sure. Yeah, this is a horse that last ran here at Haydock at the beginning of December, was held up in the early stages of that race, crept his way into contention before possibly, well, a combination of things, just finding the 3 mile beyond him in heavy ground, and also, at that time, the yard could not buy a winner. They were going through a torrid time with the National Hunt horses. They've since turned the corner in the last few weeks. They've had a couple of winners, and they have, as a result of that barren spell, got some very well handicapped horses, and even at the age of 10, soon to be 11, in a couple of hours or days, Granville Island still appeals here, because he comes back in trip. All his winning form is at distances short of the 3 miles he tackled last time, and he will handle the conditions. He's got cheek pieces on for the first time. Now, you look at the age of 10 and you think, well, you know, why they're reaching for cheek pieces now, but Andrew Thornton has rode a horse that's won twice over the last few days. Goring 1.
Yeah.
And he had the pieces applied on the first of those. And I think he's 12 or 13.
Yeah.
So, you know, there could be more to a little bit of improvement to come. But he dropped £4 for that Haydock performance last time. And he's just a very, very well handicapped horse that, you know, has optimum conditions.
Since the start of 2013, Granville Island has only been rated in the 100 and teens. 3 times, and has finished second, first, and first. including here at Haydock just before Christmas in 2013.
Yeah, he goes well at the track. He's a previous course winner. You know, you look at the time of year where he fires as well. I think he's got one win in late December, but nearly all his other victories have come from the turn of the year onwards. So he's a horse that runs himself into form. He's had the two starts this year, fell at Carlisle, like I said, caught the eye, the way he moved through the race at Haydock before tiring in the latter stages there. And from a handicapping point of view, he sticks out like a sore thumb here. You look at the rest of these horses. Federici's a horse I love. He's possibly a Topham type, the way he jumped over the national fences last time. But I don't know if he's the type of horse that would be suited to carrying 11 stone 12 and conceding a lot of weight to other horses. Creve Hill is a very inexperienced horse, you know, for carrying 11-12 in this type of event. Wolf Sword's gone up £4 for his success at Wetherby. He's a runner for sure. Clan Legends come from a yard that's struggling for winners at the moment, and they've got a poor record where the horses are sent to Haydock. I think they're 0-17 with the Haydock runners so far. Church Hall, another last time out winner in soft ground at Linkfield. This is a better race, and he's gone up £10, so it's going to be much harder for him. Swing Hard's having his first run of the season after an absence of 274 days, and Voyage of New York at the foot of the weights, you know, needs to improve on what we've seen of him of late. And again, Lucinda Russell's horses haven't, you know, been firing in all cylinders. So I thought Granville Island really stood out here at double figure odds.
Granville Island, the nap then in the 2.45 at Haydock, and the next best in the 1.35, Top Veal Ben for Mr. Forsyth on Saturday. Well, best luck with your selections, Craigie, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.